Hi, this is Alan Chartuk. Joining us is Lee Ellman, the founder of Aston Magna Music Festival, which is marking its 40th anniversary season. Aston Magna, based in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and with performances in the Berkshires, Annandale-on-Hudson, and Waltham, Mass., is the oldest annual summer festival in the U.S. devoted to music performed on period instruments. Lee Ellman, my old friend, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, how did it all start?
Well, it actually started a little over 40 years ago, because when I had the opportunity to buy the property, which is called Aston Magna, and I did not name it, it was named by the previous owner, who was Albert Spaulding, I saw that there was a wonderful studio on the property, a beautiful studio that Mr. Spaulding had erected in 1930, and it was really quite a lovely studio where he used to rehearse for his worldwide concert tours, and he used to spend the summers there. And he would play there in a very, very beautiful environment underneath the pine trees. And it was quite large. It was like 40 by 30 with a 26-foot ceiling. And I said, we have a beautiful chamber. Why don't we have some chamber music? And so it was born with that idea. That was the basic inspiration. And then I had to cast around for a music director, and I really didn't care too much exactly what style of music it was, as long as it was high-quality music. And the person that I came across, of course, was Albert Fuller, who was perfect for the job because he was a top harpsichordist at the time in the world, and so he was a magnet. Number two, he was a senior professor at Juilliard, so he had a very good educational background.
As well as a day job.
As far as a day job, exactly. Good for you. And he wasn't one of these quiveringly sensitive artists that couldn't function in the real world. And most importantly, he had arrived at a point in his life where he wanted to institutionalize himself. And therefore, I knew that I'd have a great commitment from him. So I think I interviewed 35 people, and I finally decided on Albert Fuller, and he was perfect for the job. And our first concerts were at the studio, and we were able to put in about 125 people there. But soon, after a year and a half, it was very clear that we had to move, and that's when we moved to St. James Church.
Now, wait a second now. One of the more famous things that has happened to you along the road is I remember an article in the New York Times that said, in Great Barrington, they don't like Baroque. What was that about?
Well, that was some of my neighbors were afraid that we were going to spill over and become like a Woodstock, all right?
Sure. Woodstock for classical music, 200,000
exactly.
People, right.
And they said, Baroque, you know, we're going to go broke because of Baroque, you know? It was one of those things. And obviously, we had a town meeting. We had a lot of conversations about it, and it was clear that we were not going to become a Woodstock. And at a town meeting, the Reverend Pierce Middleton.
I remember him very well.
I'll never forget him. He was very nice. He stood up and he said, and I'll never forget that, he said, we've always catered to the carriage trade. Therefore, we would love to give asylum to Aston Magna at our church. And that's where we went. We went to St. James Church, where we were there for 25 years or 30 years until Simon's Rock built this beautiful center called the Daniel Center, and we went there because it had good air conditioning, had parking, etc. But for 25 to 30 years, we were at St. James because of that very nice statement of Pierce Middleton.
So, do you play an instrument, Lee Ellman?
Badly. I'm a very bad musician.
So when you interviewed these 35 people, this was just personal preference on your part?
In many, many ways. I happen to like all styles of music. I have what was called, I guess one would call it, a catholicity of taste. So I enjoyed classical music and impressionist music and even modern music. But Albert Fuller, was a specialist in the Baroque period. And I think that the country was right for this kind of early music. It was a real revelation for a number of people because it hadn't been really rehearsed too much until then. And we were able to attract people, local people, like Bernie Krenis. Bernie Krenis,
who was world's greatest recorder player.
Recorder player, correct. And he was part of what was an old music group called Pro Musica, and created by a man by the name of Nathan Greenberg. And that group had fallen into disorganization, and the various members went their own ways. But so he was perfectly available. And so we brought Bernie Krenis on, not only as a great recorder player, but also as a member of the board originally. Uh-huh.
Now, I noticed that you're performing in many different venues now. You're all over the place. Great Barrington, Annandale-on-Hudson, which is clearly barred.
Right.
And Waltham, Massachusetts. How did that all come about?
Okay. That's a very good question. Approximately 25 years ago, a group called the Boston Trio merged into Aston Magna, and we inherited the head of the Boston Trio, a man by the name of Daniel Stepner, and he became our music director, and he's been our music director for almost 30 years. He's a wonderful man and a great musician. Because of the Boston connection, we wanted to have a venue in the Boston area, and that's the reason why we continue to play in Boston for one of those evenings. For a number of years, I think for about 5 years, we had a fourth venue at Williamstown, where I made a deal with the Clark Museum. Mm. And we were able to play there on Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock. And they have a jewel of an auditorium. It holds 182 people. It was perfect for us. And we did that for a while. But then we decided to pare down to just three venues.
Which leads us to the next question. In Spain or France, you would be known as a patron of the arts. Are you a sponsor, a patron? Obviously, this costs money.
Well, I certainly help very, very much. But a lot of that is due to our chairman, Robert Strassler.
I know him very well. Yeah.
Robert Strassler is a violist da gamba himself. and he loves the idea of early music, and he embraced it extremely well. And he has put a lot of his personal resources behind the foundation over the years, and he's been extremely generous.
What do you do for a living, Liam?
What I do in real life?
Yeah.
What I do in real life is that I'm a real estate investor, and I have a specialty. I buy buildings that are office buildings that are leased to the government, and primarily the U.S. government.
Wow. Explain that a little bit more.
Well, I am not a developer. I buy these buildings when they're completed, or I buy them even if they're 10 or 15 years old. And these are office buildings that are single-tenanted, leased to the U.S. government. And they are primarily enforcement agency buildings. For instance, CIA, FBI, Drug Enforcement Administration, Homeland Security, Border Patrol buildings, customs buildings, things like that. And despite the fact that the government is retrenching, they always seem to have money for enforcement agencies. We have a very close relationship with the FBI. We own a number of their buildings.
Is there any relationship between music and what you do for a living?
None that I can see. I think it's strictly coincidental.
So obviously, you feel passionately about this.
Yeah.
And you're willing to put your own resources into this.
Right.
Obviously, we could use a few more like you, but what makes you go? What makes you tick?
As far as the music is concerned, well, you know, I come from a musical family. Even though I'm not a good musician, I come from a musical family. One of my ancestors, I think he's a great uncle, was Misha Elman,
who
was a famous
violinist.
Yeah. My sister was a wonderful singer. She was mostly a club singer, but she sang international songs around the world. And I've been exposed to a lot of music all my life, so therefore I picked it up. But then, of course, I've done some pro bono things before, which helped. I was one of the commissioners of cultural affairs for the city of New York.
Wow.
During the Beam administration, and Koch administration for a period of 11 years.
Wow.
And then I was on the New York State Council for the Arts, which is called NISCA, based here in Albany.
We've been the beneficiaries.
Yeah. Well, I was on that. I was an appointee of three different governors. So I served on it for over 20 years in NISCA. So I've had some contact with public institutions involving the arts. So I guess it's part of my blood. It's in me.
So what do you remember over 40 years? There must have been some real highlights, both good and bad.
Well, you know, for a while we had a school. We had a school during the three-week period. We had a school on the place. It was the large residence at the bottom of the hill, which became part of the Aston Magna Foundation. In 1973, we formed a foundation, a 501c3 company. And one of the things I wanted to do was to have a school there. And so for 3 weeks, we did have a school, and we used the what was called the Patricia Lodge, which was part of the Aston Magna estate.
We should point out, by the way, Lee, that this estate is really quite gorgeous. It's
well,
on top
you.
Of one of the nicest places in the Berkshires. It looks out over everything. You can see.
It's a three-state view.
Three-state view. It's just extraordinary, but I think people should know that. But go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. And so when I purchased the property, there was this wonderful building, which was an old hunting lodge, Chestnut Hunting Lodge, that had something like 8 or 9 bedrooms. And so they were big there was, you know, obviously dormitory facilities, there was dining facilities, there was room for master classes, et cetera. And so we had a school there, and we had recitals there as well during the 3 weeks. And then, because it became so successful, in a sense, that we needed more space.
I
and
see.
The foundation sold that property with 3 acres, and it became its first little endowment. And now it's owned by some people from New York. But basically, that was the original headquarters of the foundation.